I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Train Happy podcast with me, Tally Rye. This is the podcast that helps you have a feel-good relationship with fitness, food, and body image. This week, I'm chatting to the lovely Sian Greenlord. Sian is a model, a motivational speaker, and a body confidence advocate. She got into a life-changing accident about 10 years ago, which we discuss in the episode, where she became an amputee. And she is doing so much to champion body confidence, raise awareness for those with disability, and is just a lovely human being who I think you are going to love. She has such a really a lovely outlook on life. But before we get into that, it is time for this week's Train Happy Trooper of the Week. This week's Train Happy moment comes from Georgia.
Hi, my name's Georgia. I thought I'd share my Train Happy moment of the week. It sounds very dramatic, but it really, really isn't, I promise. So here it is for you. So my other half actually wrote off my car this week, and my train happy moment, and I promise they are related, was I wasn't sad about the fact that my car had been written off because, you know, everyone was happy and healthy and that's all that matters. I was actually more upset about the fact that it meant that I couldn't go to my regular class that I go to. And about a year ago, I never would have had that relationship with missing a class. I would have been grateful that I could miss it because I always felt like I was punishing myself when I exercised. But for me, it was more of a, it's really showing how much having that movement and that group of people around me when I work out, how important they are. So yeah, here's to 2023 and not setting myself unrealistic goals and looking at the upsides of losing things. Love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Georgia, I love that you have got such a different relationship with exercise, that you're able to find a class that you feel really good about, and hopefully people you feel really good about. And I hope that inspires other people that you can change your relationship with exercise and it can be a fun thing to do. And we hope you get a new car soon. If you would like to be featured as a Train Happy Trooper of the Week, please get in touch with us on WhatsApp. Our number is 075-999-27537. Send us in your train happy moments by text or voice note like Georgia did. And you can send us your questions as well for future guests and future episodes. And we would just love to hear from you. And don't forget to find us on Instagram as well at Train Happy Podcast. Enough from me though. Let's hear from the lovely Sian. Sian, thank you so much for coming today into the studio. And yeah, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Well, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to do this. I love doing podcasts.
I'm really excited to chat to you because we haven't met before, but I've obviously done my research and yeah, I just get such good vibes from you.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm just
so
really
nice.
Excited to chat today. And when we get into it, like if we get into your story, like you've been through an awful lot.
It's been a ride.
And yeah, I feel like you just have such an infectious energy about you. And I think that's actually a really amazing thing considering, you know, everything. I suppose we should start with that part of your story.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's an important context for our conversation. But yeah, for those who don't know you, they may have known that you were in an accident in New York in 2013. And
that's correct.
Right. And it was quite a life-changing accident. And I don't know if you want to share your experience at that time.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I was 24 years old, not long just turned, and my best friend and I decided that was the year we were going to go to New York and live out our many conversations of wanting to go. I feel like we'd been speaking about it maybe 5 years, like, oh, it'd be amazing to go. So we were both in serious relationships and we knew they were just going to, you know, continue to get more serious. So we thought, we're going to do it. This is the year. So we went to New York on August the 19th, 2013, and we arrived quite late at night, so we decided we weren't going to go out that night, just going to wake up fresh the next day and have the full day. And that's exactly what we did. But there was an issue with our hotel room. So I remember calling down and saying, you know, unfortunately, the shower's not working. This isn't right. Is there any chance someone can fix it, or can we move rooms? She said, no problem. We can move your rooms, but you have to come back at 12 o'clock. So we thought we'd walk around like the area. So we weren't going too far because we knew we had to be back by around 12. So that's exactly what we did. It was almost like killing time. Went round like Rockefeller Center and everywhere, and was taking photos, taking in the sights. I always remember a guy saying to us, do you want to get on one of the hop on, hop off buses? And because we were just kind of in like awe of everything, we just said no. We, you know, politely declined and just said, we want to just carry on walking. So that's what we did. We got a drink from like this street vendor right near Rockefeller Center. And I remember there was me and my friend, and then maybe like a crowd of people, probably like 10 feet between us. And I don't know if anyone's been to New York or anything, but you know, the pavements out there are really wide, quite high up on the curb space. So I remember looking to my friend, I was closest to the road. But when I say that, there was probably about another 5 feet from myself and the road.
Yeah, not like a small little pavement like you get in London.
No, and sometimes when I say that, people think I was like on the curb, but I actually wasn't. So I remember looking at my friend saying, oh, this drink is so amazing. But her attention wasn't really on me. It was kind of like in the road. She was listening to what I was saying, but she was kind of like, her attention was more to the left. I remember looking, and then it was almost like it happened. When I explain this, it sounds like it happened really, really slowly, but I'm talking the space of probably like 6 seconds this happened. So I look, I see a cyclist coming onto the pavement where we're walking, and then all of a sudden, a taxi driver just mounting the curb, hitting him straight away. And unfortunately, he hit me as well. It's like a domino effect, and I couldn't get out of the way. So luckily, my friend was able to run. But honestly, when I explain it, it's the last thing I remember seeing. And I just couldn't move. Like my whole body was kind of like stuck. After that, you know, he hit me. You know, the cyclist hurt his knee. I flipped over the car, landed face down in what I can only describe as like, if anyone's ever seen any of the images of what I'm describing, I landed where lots of like shrubbery would grow and a big, big tree face down. And I woke up about 3 minutes later to everyone just running, and I could just hear my friend like completely screaming. And yeah, it was a complete circus, but my leg was completely severed off right then and there at the scene. And I was bleeding to death at the side of a road.
God, it's so intense. And it's like, from your story, it just sounds like there were so many sort of sliding door moments there. And I imagine that must be, I don't know, something that's kind of like, wow, this weird series of events that kind of happened. And
yeah,
thank you for sharing that with us, because I imagine like it's really hard to think about all that stuff and go with it, because what a traumatic time for you. I mean, on so many levels, you know, on a physical level, on an emotional level, you know.
Yeah, it was, it's quite, when I sometimes explain it, it almost feels like it never happened to me. In the weirdest way, it's like I'm onlooking telling somebody else's story, because, you know, it's been quite a while now. And I feel like you said, there's so many moments that I remember. Just before we got our drink, my friend said to me, shall we cross here? And I said, no, let's go down this way. Yeah. It was almost like I was taking myself to my own path in a really, really weird way. But it's how I've managed to kind of get over a lot of hurdles.
Yeah,
is to just think of it like that was meant to happen for me. And even though it's unfortunate and, you know, I nearly died from it, I've learned so much.
Yeah, I mean, so what, in kind of, so that was 2013 and it's 2023
as
you were kind of this episode's going out.
Yes.
So it's nearly 10 years since it's happened. And wow, like you have been on such a journey in the last 10 years. I mean, obviously through your recovery and, you know, adapting to life now, what has that journey been like over the last 10 years? Like, I mean, there's so much I want to talk to you about today. And part of it is this. And then part of it is just like all the other cool stuff you've done and are doing, and the way you've kind of turned this pain into purpose is the way I would describe
That's exactly how it is.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's, you know, they're like, I can't believe it's nearly been 10 years. Like, it's actually, it's mind blowing. I felt like I've been on so many different journeys within that 10 years because I've obviously, I'm 10 years older. I've grown as a person. I've become a mum. And I think for me, the biggest thing was realizing that this was now my life. I think in the very beginning, when I came back from New York, I spent about 6 weeks there. So when I got back, it was a realization that my life isn't the same.
Yeah.
And I had to deal with that and learn from it very, very quickly. Cause I thought if I'm gonna do this, I need to do it properly. So I got myself into counseling. I had to battle really, really severe anxiety, like really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't even go out on my own. It was a terrible, terrible time. But I can now look back and really, really appreciate that I had to go through that grit and that hurt and the tears just to get to these 10 years really at the end of it.
Yeah, because now you're like doing so much stuff. I think you bring so much awareness to this disability and to, you know, what, like I said, you've kind of grown from it. And I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase post-traumatic growth. I don't know if you've ever heard
No,
that.
I actually haven't.
I read a book about grief, and I think there's a grief to being able-bodied.
Yes.
And, you know, just taking that for granted probably and everything. Because, like, pre this, you were dancing and doing, like, still walking, which I just think is the most random, but, like, really cool. Then there's, like, this accident that happens and this huge, like, life must have just completely flipped on you.
Yes.
And this idea of the post-traumatic stress of it, which I think is so real and so valid. And I think understanding the circumstances, and like, I understand why your brain was almost trying to protect you with the anxiety.
Yes.
You know, like, it's understandable, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
And then there's this idea that, like, eventually with the growth, like, you can kind of grow through the pain of and build a bit of resilience and kind of use that, like I say, for purpose.
Yes.
And I think, you know, that's really, I mean, really cool. And like, I think a conversation oftentimes, like, in disability spaces is like, oh wow, you're so inspiring. And then I think some people find it a bit patronizing and a bit like, I'm also they just do. A human being.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just trying to live my life. And
yeah,
it's not necessarily you wanting to be somebody's inspiration, but I think it's kind of naturally happened like that for me. And I don't take offense to anybody that says that because I know they mean well. You know, they're not coming from a place of being malicious or anything like that. So when people do say that to me, I kind of be like, oh, okay, thanks. Like, I kind of just take it with a pinch of salt. I know they don't mean anything bad by it, but yeah, it is that way.
Can I ask then,
yes,
if someone is saying that, mm-hmm. and even if you can say, like, I know they don't mean well and everything, from your perspective, what are you, why is there maybe a slight eye roll?
I think it's because, you know, I wasn't born with a disability. So I think, especially to the people that are born with disabilities, they are just living their life.
They're just being.
They're just, exactly. Yeah. They are just trying to be in a world that isn't that accessible, isn't that understanding. And I think sometimes that's why it can be looked at as kind of a, like a, oh, again.
Yeah. Can't you just see?
Yeah.
See my disability, but also like, I'm a full human being.
I'm a full human being. And I think that's what the issue is between it. But I think I've said this before, when people say it to me, they say, you know, I get messages all the time saying, thank you for posting what you posted because you've made me get out of bed this morning. Thanks for being my inspiration. Mm. When someone says that to you, it's like, oh God, okay. I'm thank you for telling me that because it means that what I'm doing is working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure, like, were there people when you were in the early phases of your kind of recovery and learning about what it means to have this disability and kind of what to do with it, were there people you found, like, online or kind of looked up to who have helped you maybe like giving you tips and going, like, I was interested in, like, you have obviously with the amputation you have different I don't know if the words attachments is the right word to use.
Yes.
The different limbs, the options you can use, like the blade for exercise and stuff.
That's right.
When this happens to you, when you're not born this way, I'm sure there's like rehab and all those sorts of people that give you all the information. But did you have people that you looked up to?
I can honestly say nearly 10 years ago when this happened to me, there was nobody. There was one person. Her name was Mama Cax. And unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago. She was the only person I knew in fashion that had a prosthetic leg that was absolutely killing it. And it was only because somebody sent her profile to me. And I was like, oh my God, I would have never known. There wasn't these hashtags. There wasn't this awareness. There was nothing. I used to speak to this one girl on Twitter, and her name was Kelly Jackson, or is Kelly Jackson. We are still friends. Me and Kelly would speak over Twitter, and it's because she had her accident in May of 2013. Mine was in August. When all my stuff was on the news, her friend had sent her my profile and was like, there's another one of you. Yeah. Here's another girl. But there was no one. There wasn't, like I said, there wasn't campaigns. There wasn't awareness. There was nothing. And I think when I seen, you know, a few profiles on Instagram where I would find, or like I said, people would send them to me, I would just be like, oh my God, like it is possible for me to do kind of what I'm thinking, because I was a fashion student.
Yeah.
So when I came back from New York, I went straight back to university, but there was a day I had a panic attack in class because this woman came in and she was speaking about all these fashion careers and all this. And I sat there in my wheelchair and I thought, Where do I slot in? Like, I have no idea what now this means for me. Like, where does my life go from here? Mm. I didn't know, because there was just nothing.
I think it just goes to show, like, in some ways, within the last 5 years even, we've had such greater representation of all sorts of things, but especially disability. Like, of course, we can do better, but I think we take it for granted at this point. And you don't even think, even 10 years ago, how much less representation there was and how less you had to look up to. And I think you are being the person you needed to a degree.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think I always have that, even when I'm on a shoot, or I'm always thinking about that in the back of my mind. I'm like, yes, we're doing this for the people that are going to be born with disabilities tomorrow. Mm. We're going to be there, you know, guide and, yeah, you know, the person that they need, because it is so important. And I think sometimes people can be like, oh, you know, talking about representation here, it matters so much in every area for everyone to be represented. It's just so important.
It's so important. And so thank you for using your voice and using your platform and all the kind of probably attention that came with your story initially as well, because It's hard to put yourself out there.
Especially it is.
When, you know, you've had all that stuff. And yeah, I suppose it's part of the motivation as well. Like, you're a mum yourself.
Yes.
And you've got a little girl.
Yes.
How old is she?
She is 4 and a half.
4 and a half.
Full of sass, full of moods. Just like me.
And she's, like, I suppose she's, I think anyone having a daughter, especially in this world where, you know, we know diet culture is so prevalent. We know, as women in general, we just feel the pressure on a greater level of, you know, wanting to fit in and, you know, be like everyone else. Like, I don't know, does a lot of the work you do around body confidence and your perspective on body confidence, like, is that influenced by your daughter and maybe what she's looking up to as well?
Of course, of course. I think she sees me doing, you know, lots. And I think she's now an age where she understands what I do. So if I'm on the TV, she'd be like, Mom, there's you on the TV. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, look, I can see your prosthetic leg. She's really understanding. But I think it's really, really prominent when I'm on a shoot, or even, you know, sat here with lovely people like yourselves. It's the voice that I want her to know that she can have one, whatever she wants to represent. Yeah. It doesn't have to be disability. She can represent whatever she wants, but I need her to know that it's possible. So it is a, you know, a thing that I do have in the back of my mind, because I'm like, she's watching, but so are her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to all grow up just being equals and knowing, like I said, whatever they want to do, they can go and do it.
That's such a beautiful message. And I mean, she's obviously really lucky to have you as a mom.
Thank
to
you.
Like have that vision for her of like, I, you know, you want her to kind of be who she wants to be and yeah. do what she wants to do.
Even Christmas, I've been saying to her, you know, we've been donating some presents and things, and I've been really trying to say to her, you know, we have this Christmas tree, we've got this food, we've got heating in our home, we are very lucky. And she's like, Mum, what do you mean? I'm like, not every child has this. I'm trying to instill it in her that, you know, what we have, we live a nice life. And we need to be grateful for everything we have. Even, you know, when we're eating dinner, I'm like, right, what are you thankful for today? She's like, it could be a teddy. But I want her to have that understanding.
Yeah. And I think that's really lovely, you know, to think that she's, yeah, got that sort of groundedness.
Yes. It's important to me.
And do you feel like with your background in dance and stuff like that, I mean, obviously this is prior to having your accent and everything, but what was your history with dance?
So I've only got fond memories of dancing. I used to absolutely love it. Me and my sister used to go to like a local group in our area. They were called Black Inspiration back in the day. I just used to love it. From the age of like 7, we were dancing and we were always a part of the community, and we used to do the Caribbean carnivals every single year. Oh, and it was so amazing. And then when I stopped kind of doing the carnivals, I used to make the costumes. And
so this is where the stilts came in with the carnivals?
So no, actually.
Oh, really?
No, my sister was dancing for an agency. I left school at 16. I was at college working retail as well. And she was like, right, somebody's dropped out. You've got 24 hours. Learn these stilts. I was like... Me being me. All right then, come on, let's just give it a go. And that's how I kind of became a stilt walker.
That's so cool.
So yeah, and then we used to do gigs all around the UK, different parties, different corporate events, Christmas parties, everything, all on stilts. It was so cool.
It's so cool. I love it. I love that that's just like being like a chapter of your life.
Yeah,
like,
it was so fun.
And there was a time I was on stilts and I was like 7 foot tall. That's really fun. And with the dance world, I suppose, and having that aspect, did you ever feel the pressure there, even, you know, with around your body and stuff, with all of that stuff?
Do you know what? I'm going to be completely honest. I never did. And I don't know. I thought about this not long ago, and it's because I was speaking to somebody else about the same topic. I don't know, looking back at like my childhood and my family members, I'm half Caribbean. So we come in all different shapes, sizes, colours. I was very much brought up in I've seen a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
And even the area that I grew up in, we were very multicultural. Like Leicester's one of the most multicultural places in the UK. I don't know if that's the reason why I kind of never felt the pressure to... I don't even know what the right word to say is.
To look a certain way.
Yeah. I've always been... The same way as I am now since I was younger. I've never had a lot of friends that were heavily influenced by diets. I don't know if it's just the surroundings I've been brought up in that I've never really thought about diet culture. Even, you know, I'm 1989 baby. I grew up in the 90s. I just never saw bodies as how I'm supposed to be.
I think, do you know what? There's going to be a lot of people hearing that being like, that's really refreshing to hear.
I hope that's the right thing to say.
I really don't think we should be apologizing for not feeling that pressure, because my God, I think all of us would love to have not felt that pressure at one time or the other. And I think, you know, for various reasons, people feel things to a lesser or greater extent for whatever reason it is. And I think, you know, for you to be like, actually, that's not something that I've had to be really cognizant of at that age is actually really lovely to hear.
And I'm, you know, I don't know if am I lucky in that sense. I don't know, because I know, you know, a few of my friends, you know, they do have you know, they're always on like different diets and things, and I get the pressures. I'm completely fully aware. I'm not ignorant to the topic at all, because I just think to put yourself in a position where you think that seeing one body in a magazine one day and that's how you're supposed to be. I'm like, my brain, I'm like, I don't get that. I'm like,
yeah,
we're all here. We have one life. We have one body. Please love it just as you are.
Yeah. And I suppose, have you become maybe more philosophical about that since you had your accident and have kind of learned to live with this disability? I suppose has that had a big change in your perspective on things? Because like you say, like before, maybe you were like, I know, I'm kind good. And now it's like, wait a second. People do treat people differently in society. They do, you know, and I'm sure that's part of the kind of work you do in terms of your modelling and things like that. You're probably part of campaigns with a lot of people who are like, we're not usually represented. And that's, you know, therefore that has set us on a path of X, Y, Z.
Yeah, absolutely.
Has that given you like that new perspective? And or has that even been, have you felt new pressures or not even pressures, but I don't know, has there been like, have you kind of noticed that sort of ableism and the all of that stuff as well, like just be more aware of it?
Yeah, I'm so aware of it. And I think it's one of them things, especially the disability side, because, you know, I grew up, I didn't know anybody with a disability. So it wasn't in my circle. It wasn't in your knowledge of knowing how to live a life. When you're on the other side, the ableism, the ignorance, that it's unbelievable. So when you're on, like I said, when you then have to deal with it on a daily basis, because, you know, I didn't always have a prosthetic leg, you're in a wheelchair, you're on crutches, you see the world completely different.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same for every other, you know, area that needs representing and, you know, bringing awareness to, because it's painful. It can be very painful. And even when I became an amputee, my confidence was zero, you know. And like I said, I went from a person being very secure with myself, I was very happy, I didn't really have, you know, I loved myself, and not in a superficial way. I just liked myself. And to go from being that kind of person to being a person with no confidence to now thinking, okay, well, when am I going to walk again? When am I going to do this? My whole life was questioned.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. So then to build it and build it and build it, I think that's why now I'm so comfortable with being like, no, whatever you want to do, just go do it, please, because you are so capable of doing so much, so much.
Mm. And is that like a big part of it, in the sense, one thing I like to really focus on my body image, I think, like you say, I think a lot of people think it's a very skin deep conversation, and how it's so centered around what we look like. And as we know, like for you, that can change in 6 seconds, right? That can completely change. And I think when we center our self-worth on what we look like on so many levels, when things do change that are completely out of our control, things can get really, you know, that's a shaky ground, a shaky foundation. And yet it sounds like you've really worked on just really valuing you as a person, like who you are.
Yes.
Have really built up that value and your esteem through that. And, you know, what your body now has in some ways like enabled you to do with having this platform and having this opportunity to, like I say, to be their representation, but also to kind of still do all the cool stuff you want to do.
That's it. I think not limiting yourself. I don't know if I can do everything, but I try everything. I just go for it. And I think that's, you know, not long ago I did I've just not long done a commercial, and I had to do a zip line. And they were like, are you going to be okay? I'm like, I don't know. Let's go. Let's try it. I don't know if I'm going to be all right up there, but who knows? What? Let's not question it. Let's get up there and do it. That's just kind of the attitude that I have. I've always kind of been like this, but more so because you just don't know what's around the corner. We're not promised tomorrow. And I think that is such a phrase that people say so loosely, but it's probably the most true. And I think you really need to think, you know, I don't live life every day like it's going to be my last. No, I don't. You know, there's days I just want to sit on the sofa and eat a biscuit and watch TV.
Some days, if that was my last day on earth, I wouldn't be mad about
How lovely would that be?
I wouldn't be mad about it. you know.
And I think when we put things into perspective, it's like, you know, like I said, we've got one life. Just go and try everything. Go and do everything you want to do. The only person that will ever stop you is yourself. You just need to try things. And like I said, I didn't know that this was going to be, I was going to be a model with a prosthetic leg. I didn't know that. You know, when that Sean was in hospital thinking, okay, can I go back to university or not? That I thought that was my option.
Yeah.
I didn't know that this was going to be my life, but it is. And, you know, when I walk by an Ansummer's window and I'm in there, proudly standing by other models, that's pretty great.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mum's the Word is a brand new parenting podcast hosted by me, Ashley James. Pregnancy, piles, and all the other problems that come with parenting, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. Join me each week on my journey through motherhood as we celebrate the amazing highs as well as the lows. As it's my first time, we'll have celebrities, experts, and hopefully you guys too, who'll help me figure out what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. Find us wherever you got this podcast.
I think it's so important, especially this time of year, to just really encourage people to just, you know, you go for it. Like, I know the world can be cruel to people that don't always fit the mold.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make it harder to go and do things. But also, like, you deserve and you are allowed to just take up the space and do the things and give it a try.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, We live in a very, very cruel world. But do you think if I listened to trolls on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, I'd be doing the things that I do? No, I don't care what Clive said to me, saying that I need to, you know, cover my leg because it's not nice to look at, or I don't care.
Yeah. People really say all that stuff.
People say the worst things. You'd be surprised. But do you know what? You delete and you move on. I'm not affected by people's opinions. And I think that's another reason why I've kind of been so strong throughout a lot of the things. People trolled me when I was in New York. You'd be, when someone can troll you at your very, very lowest, why would you ever listen to them when you're at your highest?
I'm just like trying to get around this idea of like that people have an opinion on someone who's been in an accident.
Yeah.
Where you're like, there's nothing to do with it that's your fault.
Yeah. You and that's what I mean. You would be so surprised.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And it's not just people, you know, online fat shaming somebody, or, you know, these are people that I don't feel bad for them. A lot of people do say this about trolls, and they say, oh, we should feel bad for, I don't feel bad for them. Do you think I could feel bad for somebody that is picking on someone when they're at their lowest? No, I don't feel bad for them. At all. I don't care what they're going through. I went through the worst thing. Do you think I sat there on my phone trolling people? No, I didn't. So I don't feel bad for trolls.
I think you have a very fair perspective on that.
I really do.
Do I feel sorry for trolls? No. I think that there are a lot of people who are unhappy in their lives and with themselves, and they kind of want to bring everyone else down to their
level. Oh yeah, of course.
I think there's that
yeah,
element
of course.
I think I like to understand it, but I don't think it's an excuse. I don't think there's ever a reason. Like you say, no. You can be in your darkest times and you could not be trolling people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's been so much conversation on like a wider level. I'm thinking of like the Meghan Markle conversation.
Oh yeah.
Around all of this, of like people will find reason to bring you down for just breathing. Like for just existing.
Yes.
If they want to kind of set their targets on you. And it's just bizarre to me. And I'm sorry you have to deal with trolls because, God, I don't get it. Because like you say, you can be in that place and you cannot have that inclination. And I think it's going to be really interesting this time of like with the internet and, you know, this last 10 years in some ways, because, you know, that was really like early days of Twitter and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think we'll all look back and I think we're going to have some interesting studies and like, you know what I mean? Education really on this time of like, what on earth was happening to humanity?
What was going on?
What was going on? What was going through people's minds?
I just always feel really passionate about that because I just think, like I said, I've been in a place where all I had was the internet to look at because I was isolated in my own home. I couldn't drive. I couldn't walk. That wasn't the first thing I wanted to do was project any hate. Mm. I was looking for an outlet and love. So I've been in that position. So nobody could ever tell me, oh, it's because, you know, that, yeah, they are probably unhappy. Go and find a hobby. Get off your phone.
Mm.
I'm just very tough in that way because I can't tolerate it at all. Zero tolerance.
I think that's completely fair. I think that's completely fair. So I want to talk about fitness stuff because it's something that I understand that like you're really interested in. And you get involved in all sorts of stuff, whether it's doing like charity races and things like that. So I wanted to talk about kind of how that was learning to do fitness with having to make the adaptations you have to make. And I'm just curious what they are and what kind of stuff you're interested in.
So the fitness, I'm trying to think when it all came about. So for those that don't know, prosthetic legs, you need different legs to be able to do different things. Mm. Your everyday walking leg can't stand a lot of pressure to be able to run on and things like that. So you do have to have different adaptations. So I do have a running blade. Now, I got my running blade, I think it's probably coming up about 2 years, I want to say. And it just gave me a whole new outlook and possibility and a different level of my life. I'm going to be completely honest. Before that, so prosthetic legs are very, very expensive. Very expensive. And
you have to get them privately. Like that's the only option.
NHS do not fund your blades.
Okay.
Because they are deemed as a necessity.
Like an extra.
Like an extra. Not an added value to make you whole. So they're not available on the NHS. I think if you're born with an amputation, you're allowed one up until you're about 18. But after that, you've got to fund them yourself. Yeah. So I found a company called Levitate who are in Denmark. And they give you, basically, you can buy blades from them at a fraction of the cost. All you do is adjust it all yourself. And it's amazing. We're not really taught here in the UK to adjust our own legs. It's very frowned upon. Me being me, I just tried it myself. I'm like, it's my leg.
I'll give it a go.
I'll give it a go. There you go. And that's exactly what I did. And it completely changed my life.
Wow.
And it just, like I said, it gave me a brand new outlook. And my friend has a boxing boutique in Leicester called Box. And I was like, I'm going to go to Box. And it's probably one of my favorite exercises. They're box at 4 to 5 minutes, boxing classes. And I absolutely love them. And then, started doing like bits of jogging and it just, like I said, it just gave me a different access to my life that I didn't know that I could get. Because we're talking to go and get like a private blade done, you're talking about £10,000 to £15,000. Wow. And you do have to have changes to them quite often. Yeah. So doing it my way, it just changed me. And I just love it. I just love it having that option.
And I suppose that means, so prior to that,
yeah,
if you wanted to go jogging or you wanted to go to a class or you wanted to do whatever it was, you is it you just couldn't really do it because of the way that it's set up?
No, not comfortably. Like, I could probably push for the class, but I would still have to miss out on doing certain things within the class because I couldn't do it because of my leg.
But now you can basically do everything.
I can do
everything.
That, yeah.
Which is amazing. And I think, God, obviously we're talking so much on Train Happy podcast about how great movement is for our mental health and
so important.
How wonderful it is for just so on a such a holistic level. And I think for you to not have access to that on a, you know, to the full extent that you should have access to that is really rubbish. And I'm so glad you've kind of been able to open that door for yourself.
Yes.
Because I think sounds like it's been a real, you've had to do it for yourself.
But yeah.
Like, does it feel like, wow, this whole other door's open and I can just do all these things?
Yeah, it does, because it just means that even with my daughter, if she wants to go and do like anything that's active, I can do it now because mum can join in.
Yeah.
And she can do it. So, yeah.
Which must be really nice. I saw that you had done a charity race for a foundation that's specifically centered around running blades. Is it themselves?
Yes, that's right. So it's the Richard Whitehead Foundation. Mm. So we did like a family fun run, and my daughter got to do it, my husband got to be involved, and that was so much fun because it's not like I can go to Sainsbury's and you see another amputee and you'll be like, oh hey. But when you go to these places and you network and you see people you've been following on Instagram for years and you're like, oh my God, it's so nice to finally meet you because you're coming together to do something amazing.
And it must feel, that must be really important for you to just be like, oh, you get all the little things, you know, all the little things that just those extra obstacles you have to deal with. And people that get it, like that is so important. And I think social media gets such a bad reputation, but it sounds like it's really connected you and given you a lifeline in the sense of connecting you with these people who get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like if I didn't have, like I'd say my main platform for connections is Instagram, but didn't have that, I wouldn't know anyone.
Yeah.
And it'd be just like before.
Yeah.
You're kind of just on your own.
Yeah.
But we've really built like a really great community, and I feel like if something goes wrong, everyone has each other's backs, and it's like, it's just like we're a big pack. And no matter what your disability, I'm not saying it's just for people with prosthetic legs. It's every disability.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful because we all just come together.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a real camaraderie.
Yeah.
And I think that's so, like, so lovely and at this day and age of, I think, of people kind of feeling a lot more isolated for various reasons because, you know, we don't have the same level of community that maybe we once had, or like our parents had.
Yeah,
even.
Of but course.
But to have that opportunity to connect with those people. And I think maybe historically, people who, disabled people who have been in communities where they felt like it's just me, in, you know, they're finding other people of going like, look, I see myself in others. We can talk about this. We can bond over, I don't know, X, Y, Z.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It's like different experiences, or, you know, oh, who's your doctor? Oh, Leslie. Yeah, it's important. Them conversations are important, but it is nice just to be together and be like, oh, what are you watching on Netflix? Like,
and that's normal conversations. Normal conversations. It's not the only thing you talk about, because it's like we were saying, it's not your only personality trait. Do you know what I mean? It's not. So I suppose I wanted to ask in terms of the fitness thing as well is, obviously you've had to adapt with the different leg that you're using with the blade, but are there any other adaptations that able-bodied people like myself should be considering that maybe we can make things more accessible and we can, you know, bear things in mind? I remember we had Sophie Butler on a couple of years ago. She's in a wheelchair, and I remember her just saying stuff at the gym, like, just don't leave your stuff about and put stuff more like the middle height, like on cable machines and stuff, because then I can access it. And it's one of those things where you're like, of course.
Yeah.
But I just didn't realize because I was ignorant in my ableness.
Yeah, you know? of course. And it takes somebody to be like, oh, this. And then you're like, of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I have thought of that? But no, I think definitely accessibility within buildings. I think that's so important, making sure lifts are always working. And it's just things like that for myself anyway. I can only speak on behalf of my own disability, but I think, just making sure places are clear. And I think that's pretty much it for me accessibility wise anyway. It is literally just buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting in and out. Steps.
In and out. Yeah, it is. It is things like that. And, you know, I think sometimes, like you said, it's not obvious. It's not an obvious thing, but when it's just pointed out, but this building's perfect.
Yes. Yes. We're in a lovely accessible
yes,
building.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I think I've seen a guy on TikTok do it about, like, he would do about the ramps and at buildings, because often yeah. they put on, like, really steep ramps.
Yeah.
And if you're in a wheelchair, you're either going to go hurtling down a ramp, which isn't safe, no. or you've got to, like, seriously get yourself up there,
yeah.
which is really hard work.
Yeah.
So it's like, either way, this isn't working.
This isn't working.
People think they're, like, you know, quote, ticking the box, but they're actually not making the considerations they need.
No.
Yeah. So it's important that we have.
Yeah.
Have that awareness. And what I was interested in is looking at how you also used movement to strengthen your body to support your leg.
Yes.
So I was looking at you doing like squats, and you're saying, so I just, because obviously I use this leg more, and I just found that really interesting. Can you just share maybe a bit
yeah,
more about how
course.
You have to use movement to support your body to kind of keep you strong?
Yeah, of course. So I'm a left leg below the knee amputee, so naturally I just shift my weight more, like my hip hurts more on this side, my knee hurts more, because I just naturally do it. So there is different things that we can do in the gym to try and strengthen our like thigh muscles and our knee. But when you have an amputation, you'll be so surprised how quick your muscle is gone. Mm. Muscle wastage happens so fast. I think mine was like a week and a half.
Really?
It was literally, my thigh was like this, like it was so tiny, because you're just not using that muscle, and because I didn't have the weight there anymore to kind of like strengthen it, your muscle just wastes away. So it's really important, because then obviously when you build that muscle, then your weight will then start to support yourself more on either side. Mm. And that's exactly what I try and do most of the time.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that, because
yeah.
I think, like I said, so many people think work out for the aesthetics of it all, and it's like, well, this is actually really benefiting your quality of life.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And like, if, because prosthetic legs, they're not, you know, they're not really that heavy, but, or mine are not anyway, but they're not light either. Yeah. So you do have to have, you know, you do have to
strength
yeah
there.
To try and walk on one.
And I imagine with your hips and things, it's like to keep your body strong,
yeah,
so it can support yourself now, because, you know, in 20, 30 years time, you don't want to have like, oh, a hips.
No, exactly.
My right hip's exhausted,
yeah,
you know?
And then back and everything kind of like goes all together. But yeah, so that's why it's really important for me to keep fit.
And I love that. I just think it's always important to just remind people
yeah,
that
of
there's
course.
So many reasons to move your body.
Yeah.
And for you, it's like just so uncomfortable,
yes,
you know?
I know.
So, Sian, I could chat to you all day. I feel like you've been so open with us and so generous with sharing your story and letting me just ask loads of kind of random questions. But I think, like I said, I think people are going to listen to you and just feel, I hope they like take it away of like, I am going to try that thing.
I hope,
you know,
so.
I really hope that that's the takeaway.
And thank you so much. This has been so lovely.
Well, I've got one more question.
Okay.
I ask every guest before we finish, what has been your most recent train happy moment? So this can be a moment of listening to your body, of, I don't know, having a win against diet culture, or doing a type of movement that you really enjoy.
Ooh, okay. But I thought I was really proud of myself for doing it. So I was in Italy in October, and there was lots of cobbles, and I was walking in my heel leg, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to get over these cobbles. And I thought, I'm going to have to really balance myself here and get over these. Mm. And I did it. And I know that might not
no,
even
seem I need like to, that. I need to ask was, were you wearing your Louis Vuitton leg?
Yes, I was.
That is iconic.
Yes, I was. And I think I've still got the video of me walking
Do
on
you?
These cobbles in my phone, because I was like, yes, I can walk on cobbles
but
in heels.
You know, that's the thing where, like I said, that's another consideration where you're like, well, to be fair, walking on cobbles is hard at
yes.
the best of times. And then walking on cobbles with, you know, with your prosthetic leg is another challenge, because you're
yes.
like, I don't know.
I don't know. I will add, it wasn't just walking on like with my everyday. It's got a lot of control. My Louis Vuitton leg is so stiff, it has no movement, because it's all for show.
Okay.
Okay. It's not comfortable at all.
It looks good though.
It looks good and I'll grin and bear it. So walking across them cobbles, I was like, yes.
Can you explain to everyone listening, just a side note, what is the Louis Vuitton leg?
Okay, so as I did mention, I am a fashion girl. I wanted to mix my love of fashion with my need for prosthetics. So I asked my prosthetist one day, I said, have you ever made a designer leg? And he said, no, obviously not, but I gather it's you, so what are you going to ask me? And I said, I have just bought a vintage Louis Vuitton holder bag and I need you to chop it up. And he was like, are you serious? I said, I want this leg covered in Louis Vuitton prosthetic and I'm going to buy the matching boots and it's going to be a whole moment.
And it was a whole moment.
And it was a whole moment. And I literally look at that leg and I'm like, that was a really, really proud thing I did because it was all for me.
Yeah.
It was all for myself. And I just wanted, like I said, to mix them two things together. And yeah, so that's what I did. So that's the Louis Vuitton leg.
So fashion student you was very proud.
I was screaming inside.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. We're going to have to like insert a picture. Show everyone.
Show you.
Oh, Sean, this has been lovely. Honestly,
Thank you so much.
I love meeting you. I love following you. Where can everyone find you, support you and just get more of this energy?
Oh, thank you. So I am on Instagram, SeanLord_, and I am also on TikTok, SeanLord on there as well too.
Oh, this has been so, so great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A wonderful rest of your 2023.
Thank you and you.
But that is it for this week's episode of the Train Happy podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you took something away from this episode. And if you did, please do let us know on social media. You can find us on Instagram at Train Happy podcast. And we do want to hear from you. We want your questions. We want to hear your Train Happy moments. And we'd love to feature you as Train Happy Trooper of the Week. So remember, you can get in touch with us via our WhatsApp. It is 07599 927 537. And whatever podcast platform you're choosing to listen to us on, please rate and review. It really helps the show and it really helps spread the Train a Happy message. And that is it for this week. I'll be back with a brand new episode for you next Monday. See you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.